How to agree to disagree. Turning conflict into connection. Written and read by Gabrielle Rifkind. This book is dedicated to my two boys, Xander and Jake, and my surrogate daughter, Zarlasht. They've taught me many things on my journey in writing this book. Introduction. Recently, I bumped into a neighbour whose husband had been sick with cancer. When I asked her how they were coping, she replied that it was difficult, but they were managing. Then she turned to me with a guilty look and in a tone of sorrow and self-reproach said, "I'm not always nice to him, you know." I threw my arms around her and replied, "None of us are nice all the time. Some of us just hide it better than others." Tensions and disagreements are a normal part of life. We will not always be the kindest and most generous versions of ourselves, even or especially when we're under pressure, living with illness, stressed or anxious. Our emotions are complex and sometimes destructive, and this can lead us into conflict with other people, even or especially those we love and care about. On the other hand, we're also wired for empathy and have the capacity to be generous and kind. With patience, good faith and a little effort, we can turn conflictual aspects of our personality and behaviour into communication and creativity in our relationships. Exploring how we can learn to cope with and manage disagreements rather than avoid, suppress, or inflame them is at the heart of this book. The aim is not to erase difference or banish conflict. Couples will continue to disagree about raising children. Families will carry old wounds that resurface at holiday gatherings. This is inevitable. Rather than being a threat to happiness, it can open the way to mutual understanding and connection. We have a choice over whether we act out our tensions or explore, contain, and manage them. I've been interested in conflict for most of my adult life. My career began over 40 years ago as a probation officer. I then trained as a group analyst and psychotherapist before moving into international conflict resolution. I have learnt that even large-scale conflict is fueled by small hurts and wounded pride, as much as big ideological beliefs. Feelings of fear, anger, frustration, thwarted ambition, humiliation, marginalization, exclusion are at the roots of most conflicts, whatever their scale and context. When these emotions settle into beliefs about who we are and who they are, they being the very personal group of people with whom we're in conflict, our identity forms around conflictual thinking. This can happen within a couple, a family, a divided community, or a warring nation state. History and experience, real and imagined slights, frustrations, injustices and outrage all influence how nations behave, just as they do the individuals in relationships. As a psychotherapist, I've delved into clients' personal conflicts with their friends, children, spouses and lovers. I have seen couples at war in my consulting room, projecting negative perceptions onto each other and willfully misunderstanding one another. I still work as a psychotherapist, but for the last 25 years, I've frequently swapped my comfortable therapy room in northwest London for less salubrious settings. I have travelled to Riyadh, Tehran, Damascus and Pyongyang, crossing the world of psychotherapy and geopolitics. Most recently, my work has taken me to the Ukraine-Russia war and back to the Palestine-Israel